It means good morning. We're glad and comfortable that we have the Bible. Amen. We are here this morning because it's in the Bible and the Lord. The Bible tells us that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So if you don't know salvation, through the Word of God, you will become wise. Wise unto salvation. It's the Word of God. The Bible tells us that the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Amen? Whew. If we have the Bible, we must be the happiest person in the world. Because the Bible keeps us joy in our hearts. So the more Bible we have, the more rejoicing in our hearts. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That's why, thank God, we are in a church who love the book. Amen. More to be desired than day of gold. Ye are much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey, than the honeycomb. Amen? Amen. And this book, moreover, by then, is the servant's war. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Amen. But not my sermon. That's only my introduction. I would like to challenge you why we are compelled to do mission work. What motivates us? What moves us? What gives us passion to do more for the Lord? And let's listen to the greatest missionary that ever lived in the time of Apostle Paul. I believe without any shadows of doubt, and we will not argue with it, that the greatest missionary is no other than Apostle Paul. If we want to learn from him, and we want to emulate him, and we are going to follow him, I believe we will turn this world upside down for Christ. Because he is the pattern for mission work. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, this compelled him to focus on the things that are eternal rather than temporal. I think the enemy of churches today is worldliness. I think the enemy of churches today, they are no longer focused into the place called heaven. I look at the songbook sometimes in the churches, they omit the songs, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. This world is not our home. Thus, therefore, Apostle Paul said, therefore, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Lord's work. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it is my desire this morning to be a blessing. And help me, Lord, to preach thy word. Help me, Lord, to remind your children, your precious children, that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So we ask you, Lord, to the power of the Holy Spirit, that young people will surrender their life, that they will do and surrender and give their life, Lord, for your glory. Because, Lord, we know that we're just waiting for the preeminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, Lord, for without you we can do nothing. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians talk about the tenets of our faith. The tenets of our faith, that is the doctrine of resurrection. Are you glad we are serving a living God? He's here today. When there are two or three gathered in his name, he's here today, amen? Amen? That's why the church should be vibrant, alive, alert, enthusiastic, doing the Lord's work, because Christ is the unseen guest in our midst. Because in this life, the Bible tells us in chapter 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are men most miserable. But praise God, we receive the gospel of our salvation. the gospel that was declared by the Apostle Paul, he said, "With I preach unto in verse 1, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." What is that gospel? Oh, praise God, that Christ died for our sin. Whew! Alas, and did my Savior's bleed, and did the sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Oh, if in this life we have hope in Christ, where men must be said about, if we will compare our life in the Philippines and your life, we will envy you. But praise God, this world is not our home. We are bound to heaven. That's why Paul said, in this life, we are temporal. We don't look on things that are temporal. Believers, amen? That's why we give faith promise giving. We pour out our resources because we know that this earth is going to be destroyed. This world is not our permanent home. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul said in his suffering, for which cause, in verse 16, chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not. We don't stop. You're always abounding. We faint not. Why? For though this outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh it for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. Amen. Ha! Praise the Lord. We don't look only in these things of this world. If we are saved, we don't see the things only. We don't invest our effort, our life in these things that are temporal. Look at the Bible says, for the things which are seen are what? Temporal. Everything that are in this earth are temporal. But the things which are seen are eternal. That's why as I look at the Bible, this book prepare us. The Bible, I believe, basic instructions before leaving earth. We are bound to heaven. I am waiting for the chariots to swing low and I'll step in. On my way, I'll ride to heaven when the saints go marching in. Oh, if you believe that heaven is your home, you need to be excited. If we believe that eternal is more important than this world, we ought to invest on the things that are not seen. If we believe that heaven is our home, it must be our focus. It must be our passion. It must be our motivation. Because this world, we are just only strangers and pilgrims in this world. Someday we will leave this world. That's why we sing, of times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. Oh, that is the greatest motivation. We are compelled to do the work because it, as long that we have still opportunity and we have still time to do the work, because someday God will take us to heaven. We are looking for that blessed hope, for the glorious appearing of our great God. That's why in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, as I look and read those heroes of faith, they are not earthly minded. They are heavenly minded. The problem with our churches today is they love the world. There is a command that we should not love the world. We should use the word, but not abusing it. We are not going to stay long in this earth. Therefore, as the Bible says, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, like Abraham, he obeyed in verse 8, and went out not knowing whither he went. Why? He was not afraid of anything and a misfit in this world that will happen. Because in verse 10, he looked for a city. You like that? Are you looking for that? Oh, America is so beautiful, and sometimes you don't want to go home anymore. Heaven is better than America. Heaven is better than any place in this world. This world is a sin-cursed world. Whoever win the presidency, whoever win the politics, this world is going to be corrupt. That's why our only hope is heaven. We are going to look for a city with a foundation whose builder and maker is God. So what are the lessons that we have to learn to be compelled? You know, when we talk about heaven, when we talk about places that we're going to go, Paul have been went into paradise. That's why he was not afraid to die. Because in the life of the believers, to be absent in this body is to be present with the Lord. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. By the way, death might overtake us because death is sure and judgment is sure. Someday we'll stand at the bar on high. Someday our record we'll see. Someday we'll answer the questions of life. What will your answer be? Every one of us, whether we like it or not, we are going to face the judgment seat of Christ. All of us. No excuses. And we will be judged according to what we have done. We are engaged in the Lord's business. The Lord's business, and we are compelled to do it because He came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. That was His business. He did not came to this world to build our economy. He did not came to this world to build the hospital. He did not came to in this world so that we can have peace and build a military might. He came for purposely in this world to seek us sinners like you and me. And He promised that we should not be troubled in this world. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, in my Father's house. Whew. I'm glad I don't have a good house today. But someday I will have place in the mansions in heaven. Amen. That makes me abounding and working and lovable in the Lord's word. Why? Because the focus on heaven, the priority of heaven, will give us a right perspective on our possessions. Our church every year give almost 500,000 in faith promise giving. Why? Because I told them, whatever they give to the Lord's word for the salvation of the lost, that is not a loss. It is gain. Don't you know the Bible tells us we are commanded to invest into eternity? Our investment is not in this world. This world is going to be destroyed. Look at the word of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6. We are admonished by the Lord. He said, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt, or thieves do not break through nor steal. The Bible tells us, for where your treasure is, there where your heart also, right? Where's your treasures? Is your treasures laid beyond the blue? The Bible tells us, that means if we are risen with Christ, Colossians chapter 3, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not here on earth. So, if we believe that we are heaven bound, let's do everything we can in our possession to use it for the evangelization of the people and to the uttermost part of the earth. That is investing into eternity. I remember in the book of Matthew chapter 19, the rich man was challenged to give his treasures and give it to the poor so that he will have treasures in heaven. And that's what we are doing. Every penny, every dollar, every money that we give toward mission, that is investing and not losing, but investing into eternity. Someday, we will receive the reward. I believe that God is not unrighteous to forget our words and labor of love. He is a God that will reward us in our words. So, heaven, when we are focused and compelled to focus on heaven, it changes our perspective on our possession. Everything, this good pulpit that used, will be left behind. Amen? Your gold in the bank will be left behind. Your good houses will be left behind. Your good cars that you drive will be left behind. Everything, if you are unsaved, you will be left behind. Be sure that your treasures is already laid up in heaven. And how to do that? Let's abound in the Lord's word. If you are going to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in chapter 16, it talks about the word, and that word is no other than giving. Have you ever noticed that? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He said, therefore. Then he said in chapter 16, verse 1, Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So, brethren, let me challenge you. If you are focused and compelled to focus on the things that are eternal, it will change everything, how you look on the things of this world. You will not be like Lot in the Old Testament. He looked at the greener pastures, but he lost everything. But Abraham looked to the other side. He looked on God and looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. So brethren, before my time will end, let me encourage you that if we are compelled to focus on eternity, it will change our perspective on our possessions. Secondly, it will change our perspective on people. It means when a person dies, if he's not saved, he will go to hell. That's why we are compelled to go out winning souls to the Lord and compelled to win souls unto the uttermost part of the earth, because hell is a reality. Hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's why in hell, they are asking God, the churches. They are pleading the churches. They are pleading the Christian. And said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger and call my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, nobody can go there. And he said, this is his missionary call. I'm glad those people in hell are calling for a missionary call. He said, Father Abraham, send him to my father's house. Send him to my father's house that they may testify. I have five brethren, and they will testify, lest they will come into this place of torment. It will change your perspective about eternity and about material things. That's why in this life, I have whatever problems I have, whatever sickness we have, we can be able to say, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trial seems so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will raise. For so bravely run the race till we see Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ came here into this world. He looked at people in need. And he said, in Matthew chapter 9, the Bible said, when he saw the multitude, verse 36, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, and sheep having no shepherd. And he said, truly the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray that therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It will change your perspective on looking with people, and you look with them with pity if they don't have Christ. We're glad we're bound to heaven. We are now complete. I said, saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime, life now is sweet, and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. How about those people who are not yet saved? How about our loved ones who are not saved? How about our relatives who are not saved? How about our neighbors who are not yet saved? Listen very carefully. We ought to focus our attentions on the things that are eternal, and we should not be afraid of whatever persecutions, whatever suffering we have, because we are eternalists, and we should have the right perspective on the things in our possessions and with people. And lastly, we are not afraid to do the work, because when we are saved, we can have our right perspective on our pain. If you look at the first missionary, oh, he suffered hunger. He suffered persecution. Oh, if you're going to, it was mentioned all in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he labors more abundant. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He suffered shipwreck. In journeys, in prayers of waters, in prayers of rivers, every unimaginable sufferings that they had. But listen very carefully. When we do the Lord's word, someday it will be worth it all. Amen. Young people, you should not be afraid to surrender your life, because you are just living temporarily in this world. You should not be afraid to go into the field, into the mission field, like Livingstone, like City Stud. They are willing to suffer William Carey, every missionary from America, our first missionary in the Philippines, who have traveled 1,000 miles just to ride a boat. And they have to wait for their support for a month. But because they have trusted God, and because they believe in heaven, and because they believe in hell, they focus their attentions on eternity and not on the things of temporal, because heaven is our home. And that motivates us, young people, to give our life to the Lord. Because what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, but lose his own soul? I am bound in heaven. Oh, every Christian who are bound in heaven should have the right perspective on his possession. You must give everything like Moses. You can forsake everything, your houses and lands. You know, we are being asked. The apostles asked that question before I close. Matthew chapter 19. If you will give your life to the Lord, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Is that God questions? Oh, when you ask, what if I'm going to give my life into the ministry? What shall I have therefore? The Lord said, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 tribes, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 29, and everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or wife, or children, or land for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Wow! It will be worth it all, amen? Amen. Our labor will never be in vain. Yep. Just do the work, pour out more mission giving, because there are many souls that need to be saved. It is a loss? No. If you focus on eternity, it is gain. Because what you have done for Christ will always be rewarded. God bless you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Ed. Amen. Appreciate that good preaching. And Brother Jerry, why don't you come, my brother, and share your testimony. Just take about 5 minutes and tell about how the Lord saved you and what he's doing for you in the Philippines.
Good morning.